First John chapter 4 again. I want to continue on in that. First John chapter 4. Just read verse 2 because that's pretty much where we're going to stay today. We'll read 1, 2. I like that. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. I'm just going to stop right there for today, because that is just one of the most fabulous statements ever written, I think. And this is from John the Apostle, not from any Tom, Dick, or Harry, and it's not from me. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. So somehow a man can know the Spirit of God. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. That's unnatural. Because a natural man can't know. So in this one statement, we have that the Spirit of God can be known, but we also have that not everybody knows. Because John, again, is very specific. Here's how ye can know the Spirit of God. So we go back to context just a bit. To whom is John writing? This letter is not written to the world. The world won't have it. He continues on and tells us that later. This letter is written to, it says, he writes it, my little children. And at the very beginning, beloved of this chapter, another chapter, brethren, he is writing to believers. He is writing to those who know Christ. Yeah. Yeah. To whom Christ has been revealed. That's the context of this statement. And the reason we emphasize context, and Walter's been very plain about this, and I agree wholeheartedly, is that there is a lot of preaching out there that is not in context. Half the time, it seems like it's directly opposed to context. This book, no matter what anyone thinks, is not just a collection of stories. This is not Aesop's Fables where at the end you get the moral. Coming home, I actually saw it going up, but coming home, and I told Debbie, I said, don't let me forget this. I saw a church sign in Pembroke. I forget who's there now, some kind of assembly or the other, but it used to be the Mormon house, but they got a newer one, a bigger one in town now, but it's the old one. On your way into Pembroke, and on the right there it says, remember, God wins in the end. That's not what this book is about. God has won. The battle is the Lord's, you know? And I think right now, at this very instant, everything is going just perfectly according to his purpose. Because that's what this book says. And I say that in full light of what happened this past week. Because here I am at home, adding to this thing, typing up, trying to write about the God of life, the God of light, when there's darkness all over the news. And Debbie said, I'll turn the sound off so you can type it in the kitchen if you want, because you want me to hang around. So I did. But it's there. And the world is scrambling now to find a reason why. And the only thing they won't look at is the depravity of man. They will blame anything and everything, and I'm not condoning anything this guy did. Yes, the man was crazy. Or the boy, 20 years old. He was crazy. He was unfit for human companionship. Most of us are. Naturally. And of course, every news break since then, when we were on the way up here, they were still talking about it. And people were talking about it. They'll blame anything and everything except for the state of man as he is born, because they don't know the state of man as he is born. Anyhow, this chapter was written to us. It is written for us. It is written for believers of Christ, from a believer in Christ, and not written to the world.
There you go.
That's it. It's not just a book of stories. We don't search the scriptures to find the moral of the story. Most preachers use scripture, when they actually do use scripture, to prove their point. They got their point first, and then they look for something to back it up.
Right.
In context, out of context, doesn't matter. Just find something to back up what I think. That's not what this Bible is for. John is not writing here that it's likely or even possible that everyone can know the Spirit of God. And that's what most people try to take from this scripture. See, the Spirit of God can be known. Well, you can. Ye can. John is writing here to tell the beloved they can know the Spirit of God. No matter what anyone says, especially preachers, not everyone can know the Spirit of God. I already talked about it, mentioned it. Paul wrote it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
Not that they're foolishness. They're foolishness unto the natural man.
Right.
Neither, he didn't even stop there. Neither can he know them.
Right.
Because, here's the cause, they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, that is man as he is born, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And not only does he not, he cannot. Plainly states in context that the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're discerned. They are scrutinized. They are determined spiritually. I think I said it last week. I told Debbie while I was writing this that, hey, believers are unnatural. I believe that. Believers are, if you want to, supernatural. Because they are no longer the same as the natural man. And it took an outside agency, who is Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit, who is God, to give us life and to reveal himself to us. And that's something else the world has no idea about. Who else said this? Jesus Christ did. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
That's enough. But Christ didn't stop there either. But to them, it is not given. What about my free will? What about it? It's got nothing to do with it. Life is the gift of God.
Yeah.
What Walter's preached a few weeks ago, faith is the gift of God. The knowledge of Christ is the gift of God. And to know the Spirit of God is the gift of God.
Yeah.
And the natural man just doesn't have it. I never had it till he gave it to me. People don't understand because they've never experienced it. I mean, it's not their fault. I'll put it that way. But they don't understand that there is an actual change in me from what I used to be.
Sure.
It's not just a saying, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
It's not a saying. It's a reality. And just like I can't show you my faith, I can't show you my change. Because it is internal in me. It is personal. It is real. But it has actually happened and is actually happening now. But if someone has never had this happen to them, they don't get it. It's like trying to explain the color blue to somebody who's been blind from birth. It doesn't work. You can do it. You can sit there and you can tell people that I used to be this way. Now I don't even think that way anymore. I used to think God was the old man upstairs and I hope he likes me. I used to believe like that church sign. I used to believe that the good guys would win in the end. I might not see the end, but that's, you know, I believe that the good guys would win in the end. No, now I know Jesus Christ has won. He has the keys right now. He is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. His enemies are going to be put under his feet. That's not a good place to be. But I know that now. The world has no idea what a miracle it is that anyone at all can know the Spirit of God. Because the world is ignorant of the Spirit of God. They don't understand that it takes a miracle of love and grace and power for anyone to know anything about the Spirit of God. And to know the Spirit of God is to know God. And to know God is eternal life. Jesus Christ also said this, John 17:3, and this is life eternal. There's a lot of them in John. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's the definition from Christ of eternal life. We are privileged. We are believers have this most precious gift that we may know Christ.
Yeah.
Because the world doesn't know it. Because the world won't hear him. Because the world doesn't want him. They love darkness rather than light. That's why I say this is an incredible statement. Because it is only for the child of God that can know the Spirit of God according to the Scriptures. And it's not that believers can know. Here is how you do know the Spirit of God. We do know. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The way you know the Spirit of God is how it speaks about Christ. The Christ of the Bible. Not the Jesus of the First Baptist Church. Or the Jesus of the Pentecostal Assembly. Or even the Jesus of the Sovereign Grace Chapel. It's the Christ of God. The one that's spoken of in this book in prophecy in the Old Testament and in reality in the Old Testament and in reality in the New Testament. And after he's ascended in the epistles. This whole book is a book of Christ. From promises to his coming to his being here as, you know, the King of Salem. To more promises of his coming. To his actual coming, to what he did while he was here, and to what he's done doing now, and what he's going to do.
Amen.
Yes, God is going to win in the end, but he's winning right now. This is writing, and of writing of knowing the words of truth as spoken by men. There is a way to know the Spirit of God, but John is very careful here. Nowhere, it's not telling us, and I've heard this too, okay? This is not a way to tell who is a child of God. See, because every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. See, that way you can know who's a Christian. It's not what he's talking about. It's not what he says at all. This is how you know the Spirit of God.
Right.
If a person is telling the truth about Jesus Christ, whether they be lost, found, or indifferent,
right. There you go.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't matter. If they're telling the truth about Jesus Christ as he is, and the work he has done, and the work he's going to do, that is of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now there are people who think, Walter, I mentioned it, you remember that, when that fella asked that one guy about, do you believe Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And the fella didn't answer. He just told him, go away, you're stupid. Well, I do believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. I believe the Jesus Christ of this book has come in the flesh. And while I'm standing up here, I'm trying to do my best to relate him to you. Now, whether it works or not, I have no idea sometimes. And that's part of the scary thing. But this is a proof of yourself also. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. And this is a little tricky. All we have to deal with, all we can actually relate is the written and the spoken word. This is another thing when they say, oh, you're dealing in words. That's all we got. It is the only way we have to relate ideas. It's the only way we have to communicate. But my rejoicing sometimes is very selfish in a way. Because I don't know exactly how to put this, but I can rejoice when Christ is preached, but part of my rejoicing is the fact that I know that's true about my God. Because Jesus Christ is my God. And it's me being happy because somebody's telling me something I didn't know or I didn't realize was from that scripture, or even if it's the same exact same thing over again, I'm still happy. Because it's still talking about my Christ, my God, the God of this book. This is for me, what John is saying. Hereby ye know. It's not hereby ye show that you know the Spirit of God. This is how you know the Spirit of God. And if you know the Spirit of God, it's because you have been given life eternal. It's in Him. This is the basis for, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. This is what He's telling you. This is where it is. This is what believers are looking for. This is what I don't see when I see church signs. I get back to Princeton last night. That church across from Maranatha, Nazarene Church, whatever it is. Or no, it was one uptown. Anyway, there's one of them in Princeton. Jesus is making a list. He's checking it twice. Is your name in the book of life? So, of course, I had to sing it to Deborah as we went down the road. And she looks at me and she says, "You're unbearable sometimes." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." That's all I have to say about that. I wonder what Christ they're preaching in that place if they put that on the sign outside. No, I don't wonder. I know it ain't the Christ of the Bible.
It's not the Christ of God.
Talk about advertising ignorance. But see, this is where the world is. This is where religion is. It's not in this book. Hereby, ye know the Spirit of God. Well, that sign was not of the Spirit of God. Not even close. Our trying of the spirits is to be totally based upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ, as it is revealed in this book, as He really is. The subject of the message, I will stop and say this right now, the subject of the message from the Spirit of God, from the Holy Spirit, the message is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is not the message. And there are places where they spend more time on the Holy Ghost. And actually, when they're talking about the Holy Ghost, it's incorrect anyway, than they ever spend talking about Christ, who is the message. It's not that the message concerns Christ, although it's supposed to. It's not that the message describes Christ, although it will. It's not that the message is to be about Christ, although it is. It's not that the message is even factual, although it is. The message is the person of Christ. He is supposed to be the message of the gospel. He is the good news. Jesus Christ is the good news. Now, there's another thing that you have to consider. In order to recognize that every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, this is the other part the world doesn't know. You have to know who Jesus Christ is. Or the spirit within you has to know who Jesus Christ is. His spirit beareth witness with our spirit that these things be true. His spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Mm-hmm. You mean you have to know in order to know? Yes. You have to know in order to know, and you'll have to have that revealed to you. Yes. That's the miracle. Life comes from God. Faith comes from God. Knowledge comes from God. The knowledge of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Hereby ye know. You can. If He's revealed Himself to you. If He's given you life. If He's given you faith. I'll go so far as to say this. You will know. You will know Christ. If He's given you life,
yeah.
He'll see to it.
Yeah.
And it's not up to me. He'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And if you want, I'll throw this in for free. You don't have to be in this assembly on Sunday morning to find out. He'll reveal Himself to you in His own good time, in His good place, in His good manner, through whomever He gets, whomever He wants, whenever He wants. He's God. Our God is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And I'll tell you this right now, He is doing whatsoever He pleases. Right now, it's no different. He doesn't change. The Jesus Christ written of here where it says Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is this Jesus Christ is Lord, is Redeemer, is sitting on the right hand of the Father who has made His offering of His blood to God and God accepted it. The Father accepted the offering of the Son. That's the Jesus Christ of this book.
Yeah.
He is seated at God's right hand because the Father completely and totally accepted the offering of His well-beloved, well-pleasing, only begotten Son. Jesus Christ has redeemed His people.
Amen.
He's not making a list. That list's already been made. He's not making His choice now. He chose us from before the foundation of the world. The list has already been made. He's not going to win in the end. He's already won. Because from the beginning, He declared the end. And He also declared how we get there.
Yeah.
Everything. There is a time for every purpose under the heaven.
Yeah.
And it's not my purposes, it's God's.
Right.
That is every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. It's not a false Christ, it's the true Christ. And that's why John was warning people, because there are false prophets.
Sure.
They fake preaching and they preach a fake Christ.
Amen.
And John's not talking about a fake Christ. He's not just talking about any Christ. He's talking about the Christ of God. The Messiah. Christ Jesus. The Lord. The Word. Who is with God and was God. I still love that verse. And who came and dwelt among us to accomplish certain things, one of which being prophesied, He shall save His people from their sins. there's going to be a lot of Christmas stuff going on. There already is. That's the part they're going to leave out. The greatest gift in the world came wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's true. But what did that gift come here to do? What did Christ come here to do? He came to save his people from his sins. Did he do it? This book says he did. The Spirit of God says he did it. And if somebody says any different, that's a lie. He saved his people from their sins. Redemption is done. There is no more redemption. There's no more blood being shed. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And there's no more blood being shed. It was shed. It was offered to God, the Father, and it was accepted. And I do, I'll say it again, I said last, I do like what Jim said. Perfected forever.
Yeah.
That's a good statement. By one offering we're sanctified, set apart. By the same offering, by one offering, we are perfected forever. Anybody that says any different is not speaking of the Jesus Christ who's come in the flesh and is not of God. It's the true Christ that has to be preached. And that is to be preached. The one who actually has accomplished that which the Father gave him to do. He's not trying anything. He's not attempting anything. He's not, and I've heard this, leaning over the banisters of heaven, hoping somebody would just let him, you know, have his way. It's not the Christ of the Bible. It's not the Jesus Christ that lived here that told people he was the Son of God and they tried to stone him and he walked out of their midst because it wasn't time for them to take him with wicked hands and crucify the Son of Glory. It became time later. In the fullness of time, he took upon himself the sin of his people. He who knew no sin took upon himself the sin. He paid the price that we could not pay. He offered his blood to God, not to us, and it was accepted. That's the Jesus Christ of this book. And that is the Jesus Christ I like to hear about. And I love to speak about. Because he has saved his people from their sin. The battle is the Lord's. The war is his also. He's won. And right now he is seating. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Sitting. He's not trying to do anything. He is sitting there. Why? Because that's where the king sits, is on the throne. He sits. We kneel. And the rebels rage. That's the way it works. He is God. And he has done and is doing and will do everything that he is pleased to do. Our Heavenly Father, thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come in the flesh and did accomplish everything that he had purposed to do on this earth, on the tree, and after his death, burial, and resurrection. Everything according to the purpose and the plan of the Father. Thank you in his name.